Well, as you, many of you know, we have been choosing during Advent to spend more time listening to the scripture instead of listening to the preacher. and it's partly because we tend to read a text and then, quite frankly, you wait for me to tell you what you should do with it a little bit, right? And you're good, thoughtful people, and so you wrestle with the text yourselves as well. But it's kind of an interesting experiment, isn't it, to listen to the text and to let the text and the spirit of the text speak to us ourselves. So I've just been offering during Advent small introductions to help us listen well. And so during this season that's often noisy and busy, church involves some quiet this season, which is not a bad thing. We are taking time to listen and to pause. And if you haven't been here for any of these yet, we are hearing the text three times. The first time, your main job is just to listen, just to try to stay attentive to the text the whole way through. And then we'll just take a moment of silence and just time for you there. If you don't know what to do in that silence, tell God you're trying to listen. That's a great thing to do in that moment. The second time, you're going to let yourself, in some ways, get distracted by a word or a phrase or an image, and you want to pay attention to that. Is there something that kind of gets your attention as you hear the text read? And if you want to make note of that on your paper, that's a great thing to do. And when we finish the second reading, we'll invite you to call out the things that you heard in the text, the phrase, the word, or an image. And then during the third listening, we will ask God together, but also as individuals, is there an invitation for me in this text? Is there something in this that you want me to take with me as I go? And again, there's space for you to write there. And we'll take a moment of quiet after that third reading, and then I'll close in prayer. Holy listening, you might call this. It's one way that we can enter into Advent and intentionally slow down. Take time and refuse to add more to the noise and the busyness that is often a reality in these weeks leading up to Christmas. Well, listening to Isaiah in particular, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've spent a great deal of time in exile in Advent, haven't we? Because we've been reading Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and now Isaiah, all prophets who are writing to the people of God who are experiencing exile, and that is messing with their sense of who God is and what is happening to them. I don't want to draw too much, but certainly a pandemic experience, one of the lenses through which you can look at it is the lens of exile, right? Things have not gone according to plan. Things have not been how we thought they would be. But there's many other things we've all experienced or that we've seen happen around us that are also experiences of exile. And so we do have these connections. So perhaps you are still, like me, feeling some of the pandemic restriction, or you're feeling the road closures keenly. They've hit me really hard for some reason, and I think it's partly that after 2 years of COVID restrictions keeping me from popping down to see friends and family, now I literally can't get there, even if COVID restrictions were less. I don't know how you're feeling that, or maybe you're feeling I talked to someone this week who was saying, Christmas is so hard because we've got some really strained relationships in our family. So when everybody's excited about gathering and being together, we just feel the weight and the pain of those separations and those broken relationships. However exile is ringing true in your own life and your own experience, we've been reading these prophets now for the last few weeks. God's people are experiencing the unthinkable, right? Their identity is all about being in the land And suddenly they're not in the land anymore. We listen to Jeremiah, who was writing from Jerusalem to those who had already been the early exiles taken to Babylon, encouraging them to remember that exile wasn't going to get the last word, but also it was going to be for a while. So what was it? Plant gardens, right? Get married, marry off your kids, like settle in and seek the prosperity and the peace of Babylon, because your welfare will be tied up in its. Then we heard from Ezekiel, who was writing from exile back to those still in Jerusalem, those whose hopes were as dead and as dried out as a valley full of bones. And Ezekiel invited his listeners to see that God could resurrect even their dried up, dead hope. And now we are in 40 to 50 years later, where the exiles have been living that exile reality. They've planted those gardens, they've married off those kids, and now the exile is either just about to end or it's already ended, scholars argue. They can now go home to Jerusalem. Yay! Except, guess what happens? We kind of settle in to exile sometimes. So there might be a few people left who remember Jerusalem, but 40 to 50 years later, the people who remember are gone. And it's people who have been born into exile. So their memory of Jerusalem is a family heirloom, right? It's that thing grandma used to talk about. It's not personal anymore. They've longed for Jerusalem metaphorically, but not actually. And so Isaiah is the prophet that God uses to invite them to turn, to listen, and to enter into this new thing that God is doing. And God speaks through Isaiah a poem of hope, of persuasion, of urgency, and of witness. Do you remember the words that Jeremy spoke to us before he told us they were having another baby? So we might have forgotten them. So I'm going to remind you what he said to us, because these are the opening words of the chapter that we'll hear the rest of the three times. So come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, put it on layaway. You can pay later. Oh no, wait, that's not what it says. Come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why would you spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Do you hear Isaiah trying to spark imagination once again for something new, something different? And then give ear and come to me, he says. Listen that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love that I promised to King David is also for you, right? You're part of the promise I made to David. I'm adding that, but that's what's being said. So part of what our job as we listen today is to recognize that sometimes we can't imagine the good thing that God is trying to do. And we don't even long for it because it's beyond what we can imagine. And so we need God to spark. That's what the prophets do, right? They show us other ways of looking. They announce alternate realities. And you'll hear Isaiah at one point is like, how can I express this? And he uses the imagery of creation. And the thing that I had never seen until this week is that when creation, when the trees clap their hands, I always thought that was a like praising God image. They're cheering the exiles home. They're cheering for the people of God. Creation is erupting in like, yeah, you can do it. Do you see what I mean? I always just assumed, like, when creation does stuff, it's announcing the glory of God, right? The heavens are telling the glory of God. Yes. But in this Isaiah text, it's saying, don't you see They're going to welcome you home, even though home is somewhere you can't even imagine because you've never seen it before. So, little hint as we listen. As Gordon comes to read, let's just try to listen this first time to these words of hope and of witness. Thanks, Gordon.
Seek the Lord while he is present. Call to him while he is close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the evil their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, who will take pity on them, and to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. This is the word of the Lord. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways high above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from the heavens, and do not return there without watering the earth, making it produce grain to give seed for sowing and bread to eat, so is it with my word issuing from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing my purpose and succeeding in the task for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Before you, mountains and hills will break into cries of joy, and all the trees in the countryside will clap their hands. Pine trees will grow in place of camel thorn, myrtles instead of briars. All this will be a memorial for the Lord, a sign for all time that will not be cut off.
And on this second reading, listen for a word or a phrase that speaks to you.
Seek the Lord while he is present. Call to him while he is close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the evil their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, who will take pity on them, and to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. This is the word of the Lord. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways high above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from the heavens, and do not return there without watering the earth, making it produce grain to give seed for sowing and bread to eat, so is it with my word issuing from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing my purpose and succeeding in the task for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Before you, mountains and hills will break into cries of joy, and all the trees in the countryside will clap their hands. Pine trees will grow in place of camel thorn, myrtles instead of briars. All this will be a memorial for the Lord, a sign that for all time will not be cut off.
Did you hear a word or a phrase? Are you willing to share it with the group? Just call it out loud because you're wearing masks. Okay. Return to my ways. Nice. Call to him while he is close at hand. He will freely forgive.
With my word issuing from my mouth, it will not return to me empty.
Seek and listen. A sign for all times. Go out with joy. Yeah. Yeah, do not return without watering the earth, the image of the rain, right? Beautiful. So it is. I like it. Yeah. I love the image that if this is a big piece of wood, we sort of lightly rub our hand across the top and we all get pricked by a slightly different sliver, right? It's beautiful. Let's listen one more time. And this time, God, we invite you to speak a word of invitation to each of us. We're trying to listen. We're doing our best. Would you just whisper or nudge or give us something we can hang on to and take home with us as we listen one more time.
Seek the Lord while he is present. Call to him while he is close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the evil their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, who will take pity on them, and to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. This is the word of the Lord. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways high above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from the heavens and do not return there without watering the earth, making it produce grain to give seed for sowing and bread to eat, so is it with my word issuing from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing my purpose and succeeding in the task for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Before you, mountains and hills will break into cries of joy, and all the trees in the countryside will clap their hands. Pine trees will grow in place of camel thorn, myrtles instead of briars. All this will be a memorial for the Lord, a sign that for all time will not be cut off.
Thanks, Gordon. Let's just take a moment of quiet and then we'll pray together. God, we want to seek you. And in Advent and at Christmas, we recognize that we can find you in a strange place, in the form of a baby. In people whose travel arrangements didn't work out. In complicated family systems. In government mandated restrictions. We remember a time when the census meant that everyone had to travel, even while we are limited from traveling the places we would like to go. We remember a man who rightfully was ready to divorce his fiancée because she was pregnant and not by him. And who you revealed enough to Joseph that he stuck around. But what a complicated situation he and Mary faced. And with all the nostalgic images of mangers and stables and guest rooms and may we not lose sight of the fact that, Jesus, you set aside everything to show us what God is really like. And that that meant revealing yourself as vulnerable. When we think that our thoughts and our ways matter and are correct, may we hear your voice, God, saying, your thoughts aren't my thoughts, your ways aren't my ways. And would we be able to embrace the freedom that that is the word of the Lord? And that the word you speak, the words that brought all of creation into being, now create new realities, and that they are not bound by what we can think or imagine. So if we are like the exiles in some way, unable to imagine Jerusalem, would you beckon us to let you grow our hearts and our minds until we can catch a glimpse of your kingdom. And oh, may we be surprised by joy as that happens. May we discover that as we enter in to the realities you create, God, that mountains and hills break into song, that trees clap their hands, that places that grew little now grow beautifully. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Would you stand as we sing together? I can't believe I didn't let them sing Rejoice. I'll write an apology later. So if you're looking at the table here, you see that our hope has blown out completely. Our peace is almost gone. And our joy has like burned, which is good, right? That's not a bad thing. So as you go, whether your hope is burned down to the nub, whether peace is almost gone, and whether you feel like you've got any joy left in you, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose arrival we chuklem, the love of God that you cannot comprehend. So any moment you think you've got a handle on it, it's bigger than that. And the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you and go with you now and always. And God's people said, amen. Go in peace.